All right, just a few things here. One, in case you were wondering about a love offering, yes, absolutely. That box is still there. So if you didn't think of it before, it's still there, Tim. We're good. No, anything that goes in that box, we'll just, we'll split it and then we'll give him some. All right. Yeah. Amen. Hey, I wanted to say two more things. One, I just wanted to talk a little bit more about Mason tonight, Mason Clayton. And I know we were having fun this morning a little bit, but I just want to be a little bit serious. I've known Mason since he was little. Just like many of you, you've watched him grow up, okay? And I just want to recommend him to you for a couple of different reasons. One, he's here. Amen? He's here. And he's faithful. He's committed. He has a sweet spirit. He wants what God wants. He's very serious about that. And even though, yeah, he doesn't know what he's doing next year, who does, okay, please pray for him. And I hope tonight when we have our open house for him in the back that you'll just take a moment just to express your love for him and your prayers as God leads him, hopefully not away from here, okay? We would like that to, we're praying against you. We want you here, Mason, and you would be sorely missed if God led you away from here. So congratulations once again to Mason on making it through school and being here. Amen. Mike Fiocchi, our missionary, he and I have known each other for just over 30 years. We're going back to when we were in Bible college together. And it's been a long time, hasn't it? And it's been good. And if you hear us together, like away from the public eye, you would think we were brothers because we just kind of banter back and forth and we have fun with each other. But all kidding aside, what I know of Mike is this. Ever since I met him in Bible college, he is a man that loves the Lord. He is dedicated. He is committed. He has a passion to serve God. And he's been proving that all these years. So, Mike, it is our honor to have you here tonight. Would you please come?
Thank you very much for having us. We appreciate your hospitality to us, your kindness to us. And I also want to congratulate you on the expansion of your building here. Very nice. I've seen a few things online. Also, the pavilion in back and some of those things that have taken place. Very, very wonderful to see. Very thankful for that. We are going to be showing you a video of Albania. Then I'm going to have Jennifer, if she can come up afterwards, and we'll answer a couple of your questions, what you have. The service can be as long as you like it to be, right? Because Pastor hasn't told me. He's not giving me any time, but I do know this. The mind can only observe what the seat can endure. So we'll see how this goes tonight, okay? All right. I do want to ask, though, is there anybody that has ever thought about being a missionary? Is there, like a foreign field? I know you're a missionary here, right? But, I mean, is there anybody who's thought about that at one time in your life? Maybe you, because this is the Sunday night crowd. This is the people whom would, need a little bit added to their faith in order to say, yes, I'll be a missionary. Okay, maybe you've thought about it. I know my daughter has. Well, it's not a missionary for her. It's her home. I'm staying here. What am I going to do in America? What do I do there, Dad? Okay, and so anyway. I mean, I don't mean to embarrass her, but that's the kind of thing that we have. That's our life. But anyway, we'll do the video. We'll give you a chance for a couple questions or so, and then after that, what we'll do is we'll go into the message. Okay? Does that sound good? Okay. Hope describes many Christian churches and organizations. Hope is God's gift,
In 1990, the Lord opened the door of Albania. Revelation 3:8 states, I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Albania is located east of the hill of Italy. Because Albania's Balkan heritage, the national dress is unique. Albania's terrain consists of rugged mountains in the north and picturesque beaches on the coast. Lamb meat, fish, grilled beef, soufflage, and risotto are some of Albania's special foods. Common foods such as burek, beans, and fresh salads are typical Albanian dishes. A lamb head is considered to be a delicacy. For dessert, baklava, gelato, tre leche are great options. Albanians like Italian espresso or Turkish coffee. Albanians are from the Illyrian tribes. Genti was the last Illyrian king to be conquered and slain by the Roman Empire in Shkodër, Albania. In 168 BC, the Romans inhabited Albania. In 395 AD, the Roman Empire split. Consequently, the split influenced all of Albania. However, in the 14th and 15th century, Turkey invaded Albania. Turkey influenced and occupied Albania for 500 years. In 1912, in the southern city of Vlorë, Ismail Qemal raised the Albanian flag to signify its independence from Turkey. In 1946, under the leadership of Enver Hoxha, a communist party was born. Enver understood that communism and religion could not coexist. Therefore, in 1967, Albania was declared atheist. All religious material was burned. Religion was declared illegal. Because of the Albanian spirit, that it was denied nourishment, rebellion gripped the hearts of the common people, and communism fell in 1990. The first democratic elections were held on March 11, 1991. Dr. Sali Berisha became the first democratic prime minister. Currently, from the Socialist Party, Edi Rama is the Prime Minister. Because of the influence of the Roman Empire, Albania is currently 10% Catholic. From the influence of Constantine, Albania is 7% Orthodox. The strongest influence results from the 500 years of Turkish occupation. Albania is 59% Muslim, which includes both Sunni and Baktashi sects. Bible-believing evangelical Christianity is 0.07%. Two notable national heroes are Jerzy Castro Skanderbeo and the worldwide recognized Mother Teresa, who was born in Skopje, Macedonia. We are Mike, Jennifer, Sophia Fiocchi. Mike and Jennifer were appointed in 1995 to the country of Albania by Baptist World Mission. In 1998, by the Calvary Baptist Church in Watertown, Wisconsin, and through Baptist World Mission in Decatur, Alabama, Mike and Jennifer arrived on the field of Albania. In Tirana, they partnered with senior missionaries Dave and Faye Young and served together for 8 years. In 1994, Dave and Faye started the New Hope Baptist Church. Drita brought her grandson, Ari, to the New Hope Baptist Church. Ari heard the gospel multiple times. However, it was in his home that Ari repeated the verses on salvation and prayed to receive Christ as his personal Savior. Brother Young baptized Ari. The New Hope Baptist Church was blessed to have its first Bible Institute graduation ceremony with graduates Ari and Benny. After properly presenting their doctrinal beliefs to an ordination council, the two were ordained into the gospel ministry. Pastor Ari was voted in as pastor of the New Hope Baptist Church. As a loving pastor, he continues to fulfill the duties by seeing people saved, baptized, and discipled. Cleon Holdai completed the Bible Institute, and he properly presented his doctrinal beliefs to an ordination council and was ordained into the gospel ministry. Recently, Stephen Fiocchi completed the Bible Institute and is following the Lord's leading in his life. In Loch Ness, a Bible study was started in the home of Pietri Mulai. Loch Ness consisted of people who have generationally family roots from the village of Loch Ness and also from those that have come from the rugged mountains of northern Albania. Pietri had a coffee shop that was converted into a meeting place for the New Hope Baptist Church in Loch Ness. Prayer was made for the first service. And in 2012, the journey to disciple Loch Ness began. Several had made professions of faith. Dafina and others have gone on to believer's baptism. A valuable ministry is Vacation Bible School. We also experienced the COVID-19 pandemic version as well. Currently, the church is having Sunday morning worship services, Wednesday evening Bible study and prayer, Saturday youth meetings, and children's Sunday school. People need the Lord. Your prayers for the church of the Loch Ness area are extremely coveted. Pastor Lili is a national pastor in Cochoa. One way that we helped him is by giving English as a second language courses. It was a blessing for a group of five, Lola, Jeannie, Joanna, Stephen, and Mike, to assist. In the Marie Guy Hope Center, there was a need for a local church. A room on campus was used to hold worship services. Later services moved into a beautifully renovated gymnasium, and the church was constituted. Souls are being saved and following the Lord in believer's baptism. Personal discipleship classes are being held. Since 2012, we have partnered with Operation Renewed Hope. Several thousand patients have been seen at the medical clinics, and the gospel is preached up to 30 times a day. Our next scheduled clinic is in the city of Vellore in May 2022. The field is the world. The harvest truly is plenteous. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Please pray for the work of the Lord in Albania and consider your part in the advancement of the gospel. An extremely needy world. The gospel is hope.
Grace, but it's also hope. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Maybe you have a few questions for us. We'd like to give you some answers tonight on the ministry of that. And where's my geography teacher at? Where is she? Did you learn a few things? You did. Okay, very good. You learned about the Roman Empire and the Illyrians and Constantine. And yeah, it's a very rich, full of history of that area. In fact, yes. Yes, sir. Yeah, that's the same way. Economically, Albania is trying. It's in NATO right now, which helps them with their military. They want to get into the EU, European Union, okay, for the benefits of that.
It's the poorest country in Europe, so you can imagine that the economics is low. It has a wonderful culture and a wonderful society. The investment that is there comes from outside, which would be the Italians have opened up factories for people to work in, shoe factory or maybe textiles and that. And usually the ladies go there and get the jobs and the men go for coffee. So it's a wonderful society to live in. Wait a minute. Oh. But it's difficult, in fact. Yeah. Anything else? Any other one where? Yes, sir. The problems with Muslims. The Muslims, we don't have a lot of problems with the Muslims as in having the ability to evangelize and that kind of thing. They have tried to root out some of the Muslim extremists that were like terrorists. In fact, they've gotten rid of some of them. And so we don't have a lot of, it's just, there's a hardness that is there to convert to Christ. And that's what takes time. That's the field that is very strong and very powerful. It used to be that the communists were the ones that were unpenetratable. And after the fall of communism, people were excited to hear about God, especially in Albania. You could spend hours just on one call telling people about who God is. And they were believing what you said because you were from the outside and you know who God was. But it's not so now. It's become very difficult nowadays to evangelize people. And I'm going to share with you what my idea is, how you can help us with that. And I'll share that in a little bit here after the questions. But we have the freedom. They're not coming to my door and, saying, you're a Christian, infidel, get out of here. There, none of that. It's not like that. Yes. Any other? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, yeah. Well, I imagine it from our experiences, it's first of all, it's tough to do that because they live like a tribal situation. However, not impossible. They allow them basically to receive Christ as their Savior, the Muslims, but the next step in following in believers' baptism, if they're a young person or children, they have a very difficult time doing that. Because once you're baptized in the Muslim eyes, it's very difficult to go on, from there. That means, almost like the Jewish tearing your clothes and saying, oh, get out of here, you're done. Across the board, Albanians have been able just to live together. The Albanians, as a Catholic, as a Muslim, as an Orthodox, they have surprisingly been able to live together like that. But that also shows you that the depth of their faith is a tradition rather than really a faith that they have. Okay? And that makes it a little difficult as well because you got to break tradition now, and that's hard for them to do. That's very hard for them to do. In the early days, you see the ones that are in leadership now. They were converted in the early days after the fall of communism, like Ari. He goes to church with his grandmother. Every time I see that picture, I think to myself, Drita, that's her name, probably never understood when she took him to church that he would one day pastor that church. I mean, she probably never thought, oh, my granny, he's going to be the pastor of this church. But she said, I've raised him the first 18 years, and we've taken him, and we've raised him till now. And So praise God. God is working there. So praise the Lord for that. Benny as well. Benny was a Muslim. He was converted to Christ. And Andy Clayant. Andy, he was a Muslim from a Muslim family. He was converted to Christ. But these were the early conversions. And most of those are leaders in Christianity now who were converted in the early days because they got it. You know, they converted to Christ. Ladina Purpurim, who was in the Hope Center, those two were also converted. And all of them were converted in the Tirana Church. So that's kind of like our mother church that we use to go out and evangelize other places. Good question. Thank you. Anything else? Yes, sir?
What is the attitude of the Albanians to the American people?
Oh, they love Americans. They love the American people. We have, up to now, we have shown them great hope. The average stay in Albania for those who are not Americans without a visa is 3 months. Americans get 1 year. So we get kind of the privilege. We have had, you remember George Bush, when he was in office, 43, he went to Albania. He was the first in office president from America to visit Albania, and that just gave us a real boost. And I think that it's when, that's when it really started to show the fruit. Our ambassador, our American ambassadors, have always been involved in their politics to help them with some decisions that the country makes. And so we have a positive there. Just last weekend, I believe it was, NATO had been sent to Albania. And I've got pictures from, you know, Facebook, etc., on, you know, all these American military downtown Tirana, where we live in Tirana. And it's the people were all excited, just want to see those Humvees and all the, you know, the Apache and all those things, you know, because those are cool things, right? You think so? I think so. But, yeah, and so we have a positive presence in Albania. Yeah. Very good. Yes, ma'am? I'm sorry.
For Jennifer, what is the biggest challenge that you have come upon?
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, I guess that's changed through the years. When I first went over there, probably the hygiene in the country was one of the hardest things. Just walking through sewage when you go to church, but things have really improved. I guess you can say now, after being there for a long time, even though I can speak the language and communicate and understand, we are in an area in the Loch Ness Church where when they talk to me, their accents are so thick and they mumble. So it's very difficult for me to hear and understand what they're saying. And probably that is one of my big frustrations. So, yeah. And
yeah.
By the way, I do want to thank each one of you for your ministry of prayer and support that enables our ministry over there. So,
yeah, it's kind of flipped. Like in America, some of you, you know, might not understand somebody from deep south of America, North America, you know, where they, you know, how y'all doing, mate? Maybe some of you are from there, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know, looks like somebody's from there, but anyway. But you talk to somebody like Gerald from Michigan and, you know, and Gerald is standing there going, what? Huh? And, Pastor Gerald, I'm sorry, yes, Pastor Gerald, okay. Sir Pastor Gerald, yes, sir. Okay. So, but it's switched. People from the northern part, they were sent to the north, as many of them for a punishment without anything up there. and they had to build their own homes, etc., in the northern part of Albania. Consequently, schools were limited, and I'm telling you, sometimes it's just like you just laugh because you don't know what in the world they're saying. And it's like, and their own family members come and say, I don't know what she said, but so don't worry about it. Just she was laughing, so laugh with her. He was laughing, just laugh. Oh, so anyway, yeah, she is right about that. Somebody else or somebody? Yes, ma'am, again. Lambhead? Did you see Lambhead? You did. Okay. No, that's not my favorite, but that's a fun one, isn't it? When it sits in the middle of the table. Huh. What do we do here? You eat it. Favorite dish. Tell me your favorite dish. Maybe you have a favorite.
I love their lamb meat. Their sheep are out on the, grazing out on the fields, and they do a good job cooking them in the restaurant.
I like it as well. The lamb meat is very good, and if it's made well, if it's prepared well, you could really enjoy it. Americans come over to Albania and they say, oh, I don't like lamb. I said, well, try this lamb, you know, try it, and it's very good, very good. Yes, sir. Okay. Sophia, maybe you have a few you can help out because, you know, what have you seen so far since you've been in America?
I would say the social aspect is very big because I would say in Albania, maybe not to strangers, but friends with friends are a lot more social and they go out a lot more together. And in America, it's a little colder. If I can say...
Yeah, you can say it, don't worry.
Yeah.
Your dad knows the pastor, so... Sir, pastor.
But yeah, I would say the social aspect.
The across Europe, okay, the Albanians say this. They say, in Europe, we work, and then we have social time. Okay? Albanians say... We have social time, and we have social time. Okay? They say Americans, they work, and they work. And there's no social time. And she can feel that because everybody's wondering, what time is it for coffee? Okay? Your pastor's got a little bit of that. He really does. And it's a good thing, really, but anyway... I know because I'm American myself, even when he's at coffee, he's still at work. His brain is still going like, you know, how can I help this person increase their Christian life? And that goes through his mind. That is called investing your time rather than just spending time together. It's a little bit different. Okay. But, the social aspect is big. You Americans are a little more polite in how they say things, whereas Albanians are a little more straight when they say things. They just, you know, they cut right to the chase and say things.
No,
that doesn't look good on you at all. You know, you're like. You know how much I paid for this? You know? Oh, thanks. And really, those kinds of things are, have you gained weight? You've gained weight. You've lost weight. I mean, these things just say straight away, you know, right out to you. And you're like, wow, can you be a little more? And why? You know? And my daughter, you know, Sophia, you know, she's like, well, why? You just tell them, you know? And I'm like, no, you don't just tell them, you know, because people have things called feelings and that, you know. And we work with those things, don't we? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, anything else? Yes, sir.
Where do you stand as far as your personal missionary support?
You know, we are, as far as the mission board is concerned, they say that we are 100% supported, and we're very thankful for that. We're praying for you, and we saw you in our mind's eye during the COVID situation, because I began to think, here we are, the embassy daily is sending us messages, daily, I'm telling you, daily. You know, if you're not prepared for the long haul, get out now. Tomorrow, open up the embassy email. If you're not prepared, get out now. The flights by 15 April will be nil. No more flights out of Albania. So you know what the missionary does? He sits there and he thinks. He says, people aren't going to church in America. Maybe their money's not going to church either. And so we... To combat all that, we just said, okay, what we're going to do is we're going to have church in our house, because that's what we can do. During the COVID, we had 1 hour a day to go out to buy groceries, one person from the house, and you had to have on your phone the permission that was granted to you 24 hours ahead of time. In between these hours, you can have 1 hour, one family member go out. And so that's what we did. And so we had church in our house, which means no services, etc. And then we prayed. We prayed for all our churches. We went around our room there and prayed for you all as well. And that God would bless you, and that you would be able to have the finances for your own work, and also for your missionaries as well. So praise the Lord that God had answered our prayer. I went to the bank during the COVID time with permission. My 1 hour had to be divided, okay? And we saw that God had blessed, and we were very thankful for that. And I think, I honestly think that this is not for me, but it's for the testimony of the Lord and His principles. Okay, given it shall be given you. And God has blessed us, although there are times we felt like He hadn't given us enough. But then we ask ourselves, have we planted enough seed in order to get enough for what we need? And God has taken care of that, taking care of the ministry. And I'll say this, which is hard for me to tell our mission board, but maybe you can understand. I love our mission board, but more ministry means more what? More financing. Okay? And where does that come from? In my mind, okay, I'm really stretching. I'm sharing my heart with you, though. In my mind, I'm thinking, God's money is God's money. Whether it's coming from America or if it's coming from Albania, we had one of the ladies in our church needed a double hip transplant, okay? Never did this before. We brought her up. We put our hands on her, Jennifer and I. We prayed for her that God would bless and give a miracle. We had zero money. We started taking offerings, planting some seed. And we saw that from Asia came $10,000. This operation cost $12,000. We were able to raise $2,000 by giving offerings and that kind of thing. And then when I went to pick up my support, the lady told me how much was in the account. And if you went to your bank account and there was $10,000 more in your bank account, you'd say, huh? What? You know, I'll take it. Yes, pick me. Oh, right here. Here's my ID, Mike Fiocchi. Yes, I am. Okay. And, but it didn't come from the States. God had blessed some other source, and we were just so happy that God took care of His people. And I was able to give her Muslim husband in cash to pay for the operation. It looked like a brick in his pocket. This $12,000 is actually 10,000 euros. Looked like a little brick in his pocket. He's walking around. I said, right there is where you pay. He goes over there and boom, pays for it. and everything's taken care of. She's walking around today. So praise God for that. Okay, I want to share with you. If there's no, is that the last question? You do. You're very good in your questions, and I appreciate that. Yes? Okay, yes, ma'am. Go ahead. All right. On the back table there, I have the prayer list, and I was glad to hear of your, I wrote it down here, your Golden Prayer Warriors, and I want you to join with me. And I shared with Pastor McPhillips, I almost called him Loggins, but Pastor McPhillips, okay, this, our prayer list, this place of Loch Ness, it's unbelievable. It needs your prayers, okay? And the requests that I have there are there, all right? There's a couple names that you're going to have difficulty with. There is a name, Pietri, P-J-E-T-R-I, P-J. What is that? It's not pajamas, right? It's Pia, yeah. The J is a yeah. Then there is another one that you're going to have a little problem with, is an X and an H. That is one letter. But don't let that scare you. That is a J. Like this girl's name right here is X-H-O-A-N-A. Okay? So if you were to put a J there, you know, the J sound, you would have J-O-A-N-A. What's that? Joanna, right? You got it? Okay? So, if you don't pronounce them right, I'm sure God will know. There's this side, and there's a second side. These are all the people that I've visited that are around that area that can be reached. But very difficult. Very, very difficult to reach. And I appreciate your prayers. I know it looks like a lot of people to me now. When I was thinking of doing this, thinking about bringing this prayer list to you, didn't look like a lot of names to me, but then here I come, I'm standing before you, I say, wow, this probably is a lot of names. Maybe you can split it up in days and times, okay, to pray for them and pray for the different requests that we have there. Because I know this, that spiritual work has to be won by spiritual means. We do a lot of different activities to try to reach people. But really, God's got to do the work in their hearts and their lives. And I appreciate it very, very much. Just imagine now with me that we have support. We have 100% support. But where does that come from? We have a church in Canada. Tomorrow we'll be leaving for Arizona. What state does Arizona border? What country, right? Mexico, okay? So from in Canada, Manitoba, to nearly Mexico, from California to New Jersey, we have churches. So imagine you joining in our supporting churches, all our other supporting churches, and together, these supporting churches praying over this list, and God starts to move, right? That's what we're looking for. And we would love to write back that some people were saved as a result of the prayers. And some people, you notice in the slides that I had put, the discipleship of Loch Ness had begun. Because that's what we want to do, is we want to make disciples. We want to see them become disciples of Christ and leave a strong light in that area. And I appreciate you. You taking this prayer sheet. We also need, we have some other requests there, and I appreciate you look over those other requests. One of the last ones here that we have here is a need for a homeschool teacher. We have Sophia for 2 more years in Albania. We'd like to have a homeschool teacher come over and help with that her last 2 years. Our former homeschool teacher is from Canada. She did almost 3 years, and now she's back in Canada. She was, we've had both kinds of teachers with us, and what I mean by kinds is ones that were younger and ones that were older. And the one that just left us was a little bit older. The younger ones, they do well. They come in. They're all excited about their education. They want to put everything they learn into, process. And the problem with the younger ones are, they fall in love. Okay. Oh, blue eyes meet the Albanian brown eyes and the Albanian dark hair. And, lost the teacher. The challenges for the older ones is to exist in Albania. It's not like at home. Why are we heating just one room here? Why is my bathroom this cold in the wintertime? Why is it this hot in the summertime? And all those things take place. And it's hard for them to adjust. We kind of grew with it. Sophia is a master with it. She'll say, Dad and Mom, what's wrong with this? You don't know because you've grown up with it. So anyway, we appreciate your prayers. We'd like another homeschool teacher. If you are interested in talking to us, please meet us and we'll talk about it. I'm supposed to give Albanian reklam advertisement, okay, kind of thing to you in a way that you realize that as I preach to you, I'm also saying if you have opportunity and if you feel like the Lord is leading you in that direction, we'd love to talk to you about that, okay? If you go with me to Matthew chapter 9, I see I have a few minutes to preach here, but because there is no clock, I'll take my phone and look. And, that we've already done an hour, almost an hour already. Wow, that's kind of quick. I'll give you a few thoughts tonight. But you're the crowd I want to speak to above all other crowds, because maybe in this crowd of people there is someone thinking about missions. Now, how do you get a missionary to the field? I'm talking about not the logistics necessarily of the mission board in the local church. I'm talking about how does the heart get to that point? Well, Jesus is saying here, let's read Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. I'm sure you've seen these words many times, okay? If you've come to this church, I'm sure of it. But can we read that together? And let's do it like this. I'll say 1, 2, 3, and then we read. But I'll say 1, 2, 3 in Albanian, okay? Ni, du, tre. Okay? Are you ready? Can we do it? Ni, du, tre. Then said he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Wow, we've said a lot already. God wants us, or Jesus told us, to pray, to talk to him, because he is the Lord of the harvest. When he went away, he's sitting now on the right hand of the Father, and he's waiting to hear this prayed to him. He's waiting for us to talk to him about this. But now it's his responsibility to have this answered. He wants it done more than we want it done, actually, because there is times I say, I'm only praying, Lord, what you ask me to pray for. But now, how does he answer that prayer? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 28, and we'll look there, and we'll see just a little part of what had happened in order for him to send out these people that we call disciples. Before I do that, I just want to give you a little illustration of the whole thing. What do you mean the whole thing? The understanding of what is taking place here between Matthew chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 28. There was a man that was walking out in the field, and he saw one of those old well buckets, wooden well bucket, sitting beside the barn. And he's thinking, as he could see the sun shining through the slats of that bucket, that it looked like that bucket was worthless. It would no longer be used. An older man with him picked the bucket up and he tied it on to the well's crank. And he lowered that bucket down into the well. 2 days later, they're walking by that same place, and the old man turns the crank, and what happens? The bucket comes up full of water. What happened? What happened? Somebody tell me. Don't be afraid now, okay? What happened? Yes. It swelled, right? The bucket swelled with what? With water, right? So what just happened? It rehydrated. The wood was rehydrated. You know, when you come to church, that's what happens to you. You rehydrate. You are sanctified, and this is why you should come to church, because you're a Christian. You are sanctified when you come here. And what happens is, when the pastor preaches the word of God, you are cleansed by the washing of the water of the word. Perfect. And this is what Jesus was doing in Matthew chapter 28. They were having a Galilean experience that they needed to have in order to accomplish the mission of missions. This is why I say, if you come to church on Sunday night, I'm pretty sure you were here on Sunday morning. Okay? You are the ones that are being hydrated enough to be able to carry the washing of the water of the word in your life. You get it. When your pastor preaches, I was reading his last sermon that he preached this morning, right? Where he introduced you to the wide world of sports. Did you remember that? Did you remember that this morning or no? Or no, they didn't. They didn't remember anything you said. I hope they... No, he said it differently. I don't remember the whole thing. But anyway, Christianity is a life of filling doubts with faith. Christianity is a life of filling doubts with faith. What do pastors and missionaries go through when they come to church? What do they go through? And if you ask your pastor, do you ever think about us? Will we come to church or not? Your pastor would say, of course, I think about whether you're going to come to church tonight or not. He's constantly thinking that. Not for his own good or for a number on a board, but that you might sanctify yourself. You might take yourself apart or set yourself apart from the world and come in and hear the word of God, so that we could win this battle which Christ has given to us to do. So the Christian life is a life of fulfilling doubts with faith. There are some illustrations here that we find. The disciples themselves met in Galilee. We find that in verse number 16. Let's look at that. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So we find that there are the 11. They meet with Christ, right? Matthew says that they met with Christ before the meeting in Galilee. The 11 were the prominent disciples. There were also 500 other disciples that meet with Jesus on this time. It's not just the prominent 11. The ones that we read about, but there's like 500. We find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 6. Paul writes and says, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. In other words, there was an overlap from this time and the apostle Paul's time when he writes to the Corinthians, that there are some that are still there. There are some that are still alive from the time that we find in the Galilean experience. We also see that there is a reference to they in verse number 17, when they saw him, they worshiped him. We have that little word there now that brings in another thought, right? But some doubted. Wow. That's interesting, isn't it? But some doubted. I'm sure it wasn't the prominent 11 that doubted. How do I know that? Let's go with me, please, to Mark chapter 16 and verse number 14. Can I have somebody read, if we do this right, which I think we can do this right, we'll keep interest, we'll learn something, and we'll go out of here sanctified or washed by the word. So if you go with me to Mark chapter 16 and verse number 14, I need somebody to read that. Can I have somebody over in this section right over here? If we do this by sections, maybe we can get this done get it done in a meaningful way as well. Somebody over here, sir? Yes, sir. And don't read it yet, okay? I'll let you know. Thank you. He's ready. He's ready, okay? He might be the next missionary. Okay, this section right here on Luke chapter 24, 33 through 36. He has the lesser. Luke, right here in this section. Who's going to read in this section? Luke chapter 24, 33 through 36. I need somebody right here. Somebody, could you read that for us? Yes, ma'am. Could you read it? Would you read that? Luke, have your husband. I think he's already turned there. He is your husband, right? Yeah. Yeah, okay. Good. Luke 24, 33 through 36. And then somebody besides the pastor, right in this section right here, because he's read a lot today. He's done a lot. We need John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21. Right here in this section right here. Can you help us? Who can help us? Can your husband help us? Will you volunteer him for me? Raise his hand. Okay, you can do that. Yes, sir. Oh, fantastic. Okay. All right. And he's got John 20, 19 through 21. And then this section right here, the last one I'm going to have is John 20, 26 through 31. I need somebody right here. Okay. John chapter 20. Okay. You told me your name. She's a geography teacher. Can your husband read? Okay, he can read? Okay, very good. What's his name? Do you know his name? Dan. Okay, and I met him today because I've shaken. It's John 20, 26 through 31. Okay? Do you got it, Dan? That's right. That's correct. Okay, so when it's your turn, give him a nudge. All right. Okay. Right over here. Now listen to these verses as these people read them, because they are key verses to help us to understand what happened in this meeting in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 and 17. Yes, sir.
Mark 16, verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believe not them which had seen him after he was risen.
Okay, I got a question for you. What does that word upbraideth mean?
Encouraged.
Okay. But is it like, hey, run, keep going? It's more like a rebuke, right? Yes, sir, it is. You're right. Okay. It was more, I had to look it up myself. That's why. Thank you for helping. And wife comes and help me once again. But anyway, yeah, that word is upbraided, means he rebuked them. I don't know what Jesus said, okay? I don't know exactly how he said it. But you know how we are as people. And we don't compare to Jesus. But, you know, somebody does something wrong in the family and you say, how could you not believe that? How could you not do that? Right? Do we get a little strong sometimes on our emotion or yeah, we do. And Jesus is there with them, and it's like, disciples, I'm with you all this time, And you didn't understand that I was going to resurrect from the grave? And they didn't understand it. But they sure understood it then, right? Okay, now Luke chapter 24, verse 33 through 36. Yes, okay.
And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking the bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, "Peace be unto you."
Okay, now you have it. Grace. Right? Jesus could rebuke, but after he says, "Peace. Peace be unto you." Why? He's preparing them for a mission. They're tore down. They're already tore down from the situation that had passed, but he's preparing them for a mission. And he doesn't want them to fail. He wants them to go out confidently that he has called them to do this mission. Right? John 20, verse 19 through 21.
In the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he shewed unto them his hand and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you."
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. Thank you very much. Here again, he's meeting with the 11. Yes or no? He's meeting with these 11 disciples, and he's making sure that they understand that it is he who it is, and that he is wishing peace upon them. It's a wonderful thing. John chapter 20, 26 through 31. Mm-hmm.
And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the door being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but be believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for reading that. And so we have, in the beginning, we saw that even Simon or Peter saw Jesus, okay, because Peter was a tough one to convince. Yes or no? He was a very strong personality. He had his own opinions. He was the one that Jesus was always working with. Okay? But we understand that he saw Jesus, okay, before the Galilean ministry, or meeting, excuse me. And then we have the doubting Thomas, where Thomas had also saw Jesus before the Galilean meeting. So, to say in verse number 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, probably the prominent 11 worshipped right away because of the fact that they had seen him already. It was some of those other ones that needed to be convinced that this was the resurrected Jesus that had come to speak with them. And this was the reason that they were put together. They had this meeting put together like this. So it's unlikely that the 11 were the ones who were doubting, but it was the other ones. Now, how is doubt overcome? How's it overcome? Who said faith? Somebody back there said faith. Don't be afraid, because that's the right answer. Doubt is overcome by faith, right? Okay? And so, what is the way that we gain faith in our lives? What's the way that we gain faith in our lives? Who's, oh, geography teacher once again. This is, she said that. Okay, I'm good. Honest geography teacher. Good. Okay. Yes, ma'am. What is your name? Pat. Thank you, Pat. Yes, faith, right, comes by hearing. Do you know a Bible verse that has to deal with that? What's the Bible verse? Romans 10:17. Ready? Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You never go to the mission field without hearing the word of God. You hardly come to church without hearing the word of God. A person who hears the word of God, he is the one that has prepared for that when he goes to church and he hears the word of God, the one that comes and he comes and he comes and he hears and he hears and he hears and he hears. And when he has this, what we call a Galilean experience, he is the one, or she is the one, whose heart is tender when the invitation is given. They are an answer to the prayer that someone is praying, that the Lord will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I don't know if you understand that word send. It's not a send. It's different than that. It's a confident send. And there's no doubt behind that. It's going into these different parts of the world that we call countries, knowing that the doubt is gone and you're being sent into this world. Because of the fact you have sanctified yourself, you have washed yourself with the Word of God, your bucket is holding the Word of God, and you say, send me, because inside of me is the Word of God. When I step on the scale, I see, what do I weigh? Wow. Okay. When I go out into this world, my spirit is weighed. Think about that. When I go out into this world, that's where I'm tested. I test the scale by putting myself on it. I'm tested out there. But the person whose bucket is full, the liberal soul shall be made fat. And there's a weight that comes, a good weight that comes, so that you're prepared to go out into this world. Why go to church? That's just one reason. So that you can hear God's voice. And we can do this. We can overcome doubt with faith. And this is where we are. My pastor, my first Sunday back to America at Calvary in Watertown, Pastor Loggins is on the board, and he said, you know, he said, the board of Baptist World Mission, he said, the missionaries that are retiring is longer than the list of missionaries going to the field. The reason is because there's doubt. And the Christian life is constantly a life that needs to overcome doubt by faith, hearing the Word of God. And that's why I'm telling you that I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate what you do. And I'm also asking you to pray for laborers to the harvest field. But the only way that we'll see laborers into the harvest field is that when we're full and we're ready to be sent out, that's when we're able to do that. That's when we pack our bags and we say, here, my Lord, send me. I will labor for you faithfully. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you again in faith. We think about what Jesus told us to do. He told us to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest. And now with this wonderful man of God who loves you, Pastor Gerald McPhillips, now with the congregation that you've set him over, Lord, the Grace Baptist Church, whom which we call. We pray tonight, Lord, that you will. We're asking you together, me as their missionary, leading them in this prayer. We pray, Lord, that you would send forth laborers into your harvest. We know, Lord, no other way. We pray that heaven would move and touch hearts, that people will understand, that Christians will understand that really there is a great need for missionaries. I pray for those missionaries that have answered the call. They may be on deputation at this time, Lord. I pray for them, if there are some in meetings right now, that you would bless them, that you would fill them with your spirit, that prayer would be answered. Bless them, Lord, that they might be able to raise their support, that others that might be able to make it to the field in an amount of time that would describe what Jesus said when he said that he would send forth laborers, not as we know it, but as Jesus knows it. Lord, is there someone here that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior? I pray that you would help them to understand what that means to receive Christ as their personal Savior. Maybe there's some here that need baptism. They're not baptized yet. For whatever reason, we pray that you'd help them to understand that they need that as well. And Lord, I do pray for the rest of us who are doing that. I pray that you would help us to be a disciple, then also to disciple others, that we might be the kind of disciplers that Jesus asked us to be. We thank you for it. We love you and we praise you. We love you, Jesus. We pray that you would help us to love each other as well and love those people, the souls of men that are in this world. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.